All right, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. And we have dealt with what it means to walk with God. Perhaps you remember some of the sermon titles. We knew that it meant to walk with God in singleness of heart. We knew it meant sharing. We knew it meant schooling. We talked about all these things. We knew that it meant spiritual exercise. And we knew that it meant separation. Now tonight, we're going to turn the prism a little bit. And we're going to let the light of God's Word shine and reflect a different vein of truth as we come to the place of walking with God. And as we come to the place of walking with God in our spirit. So we've got some of the mechanics down. So now we're going to make some of the application. How does a Christian walk in the Spirit? How does he walk with God in his spirit? The Bible does command us to do that. Notice verse 16, if you would, and we see this command clearly. This I say then. Notice what it says, verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then drop down to verse 25, if you would, please. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, here is what, this is Galatians chapter 5. Did I tell you? Oh, I didn't tell you Galatians? Oh, I'm sorry. You should know where these verses are. My goodness. It's chapter 5. I kept hearing a little rustling here. Okay? Sorry about that. Chapter 5. Can you tell I'm biting at the bits? Chapter 5. All right. Now let's look at verse 16. Matter of fact, now that you're there, got the right street location, let's read it together. You've heard me read it. Let's read these two verses together. We'll read verse 16, and then we'll just drop down and read verse 25. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. These are two reminders that God is saying to us, it is not an option. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And to walk in the Spirit means to live in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit-controlled life. Now, there are obvious two ways in which Christians walk. Now think with me just for a moment, by way of introduction. Either we are walking in the Spirit, or according to verse 16, or you tell me we are walking in the flesh. So we choose what to do. We choose our walk. We choose how we're going to live. Those are some of the choices that I've been dealing with on Sunday night. Making right choices so that we can come to good decisions. Even on hard calls or in gray areas of our life. Or if there's no direct thus saith the Lord about it. How do we make the right choice or the right decision in our life? How do we make the right choice and right decision when we're raising our children? When do we talk to them about certain things? When do we give them car keys? When do we give them a cell phone? I mentioned some of these things on Sunday night. Well, this is a reflection of how we are walking. Either we are going to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, or we are going to walk in the flesh and live in the flesh. And the flesh is sarcastic. The flesh is mean. The flesh has ulterior motives. You see, our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So when we allow our heart to control, when you follow your heart, now the world will tell you and Hollywood will tell you, follow your heart. The Bible never tells you to follow your heart. Ever. Because our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know them? If we follow our heart, we'll live in the flesh. And our flesh is very carnal. And carnality is the enemy of God, James teaches us. So when we look at the collage of all of this, we have a choice. A choice to walk after the Spirit or to walk after the flesh. It is imperative that believers walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of our flesh, because our flesh is willing, our flesh is strong, our flesh desires those things. It desires such things. Now I know that we could talk about sins, horrible sins of murder and immorality and those things. But what about unforgiveness and bitterness and rage and anger and temper? Those things, jealousy, envies, those things, vengeance, those things that Christians commit because they walk in the flesh. And so we have to walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh that is so ready and willing and strong and has great desire to be in control. So we have to make choices. We have to make the right choices. If we do not make the right choices, then we will be apologizing. We will be having to constantly seek victory. Not that you cannot get victory, but isn't it good to live the victorious life? Isn't it good to get victory over a habit or over a sin or over the flesh? Isn't it good to do that? Not good in a proud way. I'm not talking about pride so you stick your thumbs underneath your lapel and say, look what I've done. I'm a great Christian. No, there's something inside of our heart that when we make a right choice, it's just like a child. When a child makes the right choice and the parent praises that child, there's something that child says, boy, I just satisfied my mom and dad by making the right choice. And he'll want to do that again, or she'll want to do that again. And that is the idea here in the text. Let me remind you about Paul and what he told the Romans. Listen to these verses in chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. You don't have to turn there. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So I think it's important if we're going to get the application of how to walk with God, and we walk with God. Here's what's mentioned in the Scripture. We walk with God in our spirit, walk with God in our mind, walk with God in our will, walk with God in our body. All of those are phrases from the Bible. We want to get there. We want to get to those phrases. And it'll take us a little time to get there, but that's where we're headed. Because the Bible speaks about the Christian walking that way. Tonight, I want us to begin a journey as we look at this word walk in the New Testament. It's a small word, but it's mentioned over 40 times. I found that there were four Greek words that are used in the Bible over 40 times about this matter of our walk with God. It's interesting, one of those words is used 35 times of the 42 times the word walk is found in Scripture, in the New Testament. So there's an overwhelming Greek word that is used, and then there are three of those Greek words, two of those Greek words that's just used in three verses. And then the rest are found in a handful of verses. So as I did my research and began to look at this word walking with God in my spirit, I found that this phrase, walking with God in my spirit and not walking with God in the flesh, is found 8 times in the New Testament of those 42 times. Now, stay with me. I don't want you saying this. Oh, my, is Pastor Eric going to start 42 verses on the word walk? You know, how long are we going to be here? We should be out by 9:30, 10 o'clock. All right? So what I'm saying is I want to narrow that down from 42 to 8 times. It's interesting. Of those 8 times, 5 times the Apostle Paul was used by the Holy Spirit to talk about this kind of walking with God in my spirit and not in the flesh. 2 times Peter used it, and once it was used in the book of Job, or in the book of Jude, excuse me. So those 8 verses become imperative to our study about this word walk. It literally means to regulate one's life by making use and obeying the commands given. Here is what Paul was struggling with here in Galatia and also in Rome. He was struggling with people who were saved out of Judaism, and they were saved out of all kind of ceremonial standards and rules and regulations. Now, all of a sudden, they're saved and they're learning that Christ came to fulfill the law. Are you with me? Christ came to fulfill the law. And so he came to teach, not a new truth. No. But he came to expand on that truth and make spiritual application of the law in the believer's life. They had no clue that that was happening. Many of them just got saved. Got saved out of Judaism. Or, if you were in Rome, you got saved out of a heathen way of lifestyle. So now just think about this. Here's the heathen and here is the religious. And both of them finally get saved. And they realize that, you know, all this religion's not right. And all this sinful living's not right. And so Paul is teaching both groups of people. Here's what he's doing. He's bringing both groups of people to a level field that is saying, listen, you don't live according to the wickedness of your flesh, and you don't live according to the wickedness of religion and all of its ceremonial standards. You live, you've been free, you've been liberated from that. And so here's what he's saying. You have to now learn to walk in the Spirit. You were fulfilling the flesh in your religion. Look at me. I fast 5 times a week. Look at me. I give down at the temple. Look at me. I'm glad I'm not like that publican. Are you with me? Now, all of a sudden, he is saying all of those religious things that you were doing were of the flesh. You must start living and walking in the Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to control you. So he's got the Judaizers and he's got the pagans. Now they're in the church and they're hearing these messages on how to walk. This is a new walk for them. This is all new to them. And whether it's found in the book of Romans or whether it's found in one of the Pauline epistles, this word is saying to them, you need to give your life over. You need to now regulate your life under the rule of the Spirit controlling your life. You need to yield, you need to empty yourself and yield yourself, surrender yourself, allow Him to fill you and allow Him, in which I spoke on several weeks ago, allow Him to use you in His service. Your religion is not any good. It's full of pride and arrogancy. Your wicked living is nothing more than the fulfilling of your fleshly lust. So you got to leave those things alone and leave those things alone. By the way, the Judaizers, it wasn't that they were moral agents. They were immoral too. So they had to learn the moral righteousness of Christ and how the Spirit of God is going to lead them into moral righteousness. And so Jesus came to fulfill the law and explain it further. That's why he said in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, if a man so much as looks at a woman in lust, he commits adultery. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. He came to expand on that. So now these people, like you and I, are going to learn what it means to really walk with God. What it means, how does this all happen? How can I make this application? How can I make this, if I can use this pun intended, how can I make this leap from a religious fleshly life to a spiritual life walking with Him? How can I do that? How can I bring myself under that kind of control? Well, He lays such a great foundation as he gets us to think, now you're going to allow your life to be regulated by the truth of the Word of God, not by man's rules and not by your own heart, the wickedness of your own heart. Now the Spirit of God is going to have an opportunity to take the great truths of the Bible. Now watch this, the great truths of the Bible, and He's just going to start handing them to you for you to put them in your life, for you to put them in your mind, in your heart, so that your will and your spirit and your mind and your body can all function properly as a Christian to the best it can on this planet until we finally, and aren't you glad this is going to happen, one day we get our new bodies and we will not need this. We'll be done. We'll be like Him. And I look forward to that. Do you not? I do. And so until then, we have to learn how to walk. It's very important that we learn how this happens. Well, I've done the research, and we do not have time to get all of them tonight. But I do want to cover three of them. Trust I'll be able to cover three of them. And I want you to turn to them. Our key word is walk. It's talking about regulating our life and making use of obeying the truth, being occupied with the commands of our Lord, being able to be in step with Him. It's a military term, that we walk with Him in step, that we are with Him. We're not with the religious acts of man. We're not with the unbridled heart of wickedness. No, we have a new life. Now, I want you to think with me just for a moment. When did that start? You don't have to answer out loud. I'm just getting you to think. It started at our salvation, did it not? When the Spirit of God came in, and aren't you glad when we got saved, we got all the Holy Spirit we'll ever have. Now it's up to us to allow the Holy Spirit to have us. And that means we have to change. That means we have to give in. That means we have to surrender. That means we have to empty ourselves so that He can be in control of us. That started at salvation. Isn't it something that in my research I found that Paul starts there so easily? Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Let me show this to you. There's nothing deep about this theology. It's simple Bible preaching. It is so simple that I can grab a hold of it. And if I could simple enough for me to grab a hold of it, everybody ought to be able to get it. All right? This is such a simple thing. Now look at verse 4. Watch what it says. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in newness of life. When did this new walk start? It started when we got saved. And we are baptized, not for the remission of sins. We're baptized to identify with Christ. Many of you were baptized and became a member of this church. But we are baptized, and that means that we are raised to walk in newness of life. We have a new life. And here's what those people in Rome said in their hearts. I'm not going to live like I used to. I used to live by my own heart. I used to live by my own flesh, my own desires. I used to do what I wanted to do. I was out of control. Now I want to bring myself under. I'm going to walk. A military term. I'm going to bring myself under. I'm going to regulate my life now because I have a newness of life. What does that mean? To walk in newness of life. As believers, we are to regulate our lives, that's the word walk, out of obedience because of a new state of life in which the Holy Spirit placed us in by way of the new birth. In other words, when we were baptized in deep water, and I'm glad that we were baptized in deep water one time backwards. Mode is very important. Not sprinkled, not dabbed, not three times forward, but one time backward. And what does that symbolize? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And we're raised to walk for our lives to be regulated under a new banner. We're raised to walk in newness of life. That's why a person who is not saved that gets baptized, can they be raised to walk in newness of life? Can't do it, can they? That person becomes very frustrated in their life as they try to live it as a Christian. So we are to walk in newness of life. As new believers, we should have an overwhelming desire to obey our new commander. You see, we were yielding to the flesh. We were yielding to a religion. Now we're not really yielding to any of that. Now we're yielding to Him. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. And now we want to regulate our lives. We have this appetite. We have this desire to regulate our lives based on the commandments of our commander. We're underneath a different type of walk now. We've been raised to walk in newness of life. And it began at salvation. And that's why when I did the research and saw where the walk starts, it starts as soon as we get saved. And we're raised to walk in newness of life by way of baptism to show us, not that baptism makes us spirit-filled. We know that that's not true. But baptism allows us the picture to be raised to walk differently. It's a testimony to the world, I've been saved. And saved people change. There's about six of us. Saved people change. That is true. I am not the same as I was when I got saved in 1975. I am not the same. I don't think the same. I don't talk the same. I don't live the same. I don't treat my body the same. It's all different. Are you with me? And that's the new walk. How did I learn that? Well, I sit in church after I got saved and listen to my pastor preach. And I couldn't say amen sometimes. I was saying, oh me. Because it was almost as if he had buttonholed me. Have you ever felt that way? It's almost like he just keyed right in on me. And what was he doing? Was he being mean to me? Was he mad at me? No, he was loving me. And many, many times he didn't even realize he was doing it. But he was helping me. It was helping me as I walked in newness of life. Now, one of the things that I learned, and I want us to go to the second word. And I know these are all over the New Testament, but I still want you to stay with me now. We are to walk, secondly, if you're taking notes, not only in newness of life, but now secondly, we're to walk by faith. Let me show you this from out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Would you turn there, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a quote from the Old Testament brought over to the New Testament. Look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by, you tell me, faith, not by sight. Here is part of our walk. A few moments ago, I spoke about faith changing lives. We have needs in this church that only God can meet. And He will only meet them, are you ready for this? He will only meet them because we believe He can. Faith is very important. Without it, we cannot please Him. So we need challenges along the way. We need the challenge to stretch our faith, to trust Him. And so the Lord brings trials into our personal life, into our family life. And why does He do that? He does that because we need to exercise faith. He does that because He wants to take that trial. He wants to take that tribulation. And He wants us to soar on the winds of adversity above it. So we'll have a broader picture so that we'll be able to see that God is working. Even though we don't like the wind, even though we don't like the storm, God is working. Pastor McClellan delivered a great message of Jesus out in the boat with the disciples in the storm several weeks ago. Great message about the storms that come into our life. They do come. We have needs. We will always have needs because we're human. We're constantly decaying. We're going to have needs spiritually, emotionally, financially, physically. We're going to have needs. We will not be without needs. And those are nothing more than faith opportunities to trust the Lord by faith. Our building program is a step of faith. God is going to have to work in a supernatural way. I'm praying faithfully, daily, for God to do it. I hope you are too. Don't get tired of praying for it. Keep praying for it. Pray for your need. Do not get tired. Do not become weary in well-doing, because you know when you become weary in well-doing, you'll faint. You'll fall by the wayside. You'll miss what God wants in your life. So faith is so vitally important. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And when we read Hebrews 11, we call it the hall of faith. chapter, when we read that great chapter, we read one patriarch after another, one prophet after another, who lived their life by faith. And it pleased God. And they saw miracles happen because of their faith. No faith, no miracles. So we must believe God. We must believe that He can meet this need. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He can meet your need, whatever that need might be. And that's why, if we're not careful, we'll have the little foxes spoil the vine to where we can't enjoy our life. Because we have our eyes on those circumstances and on the trials and on the pressures and on all the things that are in a downward spiral. And faith goes away. I don't want your faith to ever go away. I want you to trust the Lord during the hardest hardship of your life. God wants you, more importantly, He wants you to put your faith in Him. Why? Because the Bible says, for we walk, our lives are regulated by our obedience. And our obedience is that we believe God in the area of faith. And that's how God will do miracles in our lives. That's how He meets needs supernaturally. That's how He can care for us in ways that we didn't even have a clue that He could. And that's why He gives us handfuls on purpose along the way and allows us to experience His blessings. And we say, thank You, Lord, for meeting this need. Thank You for taking care of this. And there's nothing too small when it comes to a matter of faith. Nothing too small, nothing too large. So we walk in newness of life. We walk by faith. Now, let me show you another one that's very dear to my heart. There's no order to these. But we are to, thirdly, we're to walk worthy of our calling. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This will be the last station of Scripture that we'll visit tonight in the message as we consider the third principle of walking with God. We do it in newness of life. We do it by faith. And we do it by walking worthy of our calling. Look at verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. All right, here's the church at Ephesus. What in the world is he talking about? What do you mean, walk worthy? What does that mean? What's a vocation? What's a calling? Is there a difference between the two? These are fair and good questions. Notice, if you would back up a little further and notice what he says. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Who better could be writing about walking with God than someone in a Roman prison whom God's hand is on and God is working in his own life? Notice what the prisoner says. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Paul appeals through his earnest urging that they obey the Lord in this area of their life as they would submit to Him, that is to the Lord. I beseech you, I beg you. It's a prayer word, and it's used to the human heart. I beseech you. I urge you. It's a passion in his heart. It's a word of emotion. I beseech you. This is the right thing for you to do. I urge you to do it. I hope you won't think three or four times about it and let it go away. This is very important that you walk worthy of your vocation and your calling. That you walk, that you regulate your life in him. That's what walking is. It's being in step with Him. You regulate your life. You're in step with Him. And that you do it worthy. The word worthy is translated in our King James Bible appropriately. It's done properly. The idea here is it's in a godly manner. That you walk in a godly manner. That you regulate your life in a godly way. Not in a fleshly way. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. Not in a way of your own heart, but in a godly way. In other words, there's going to be times when you're going to know the right choice to make. You know it's the right thing to do. It doesn't even have to be about a sin of commission. It might be something that you're getting ready to omit that you should be doing. A sin of omission. You know what's right. If you are walking with Him, if you're in step with Him, if you're regulating your life by His commands, then, not by your flesh, not wanting to be recognized by religion or by man, no, all of a sudden, God moves into your heart and moves in your heart in such a way that in a godly manner, you start walking worthy of your vocation. Vocation speaks about their implied salvation. Because you are saved, you're going to have a certain walk about you that others might be able to see it. As you fully embrace what God is teaching you and in a godly manner mete it out in your life. He was saying to those Judaizers, you don't have to live by these ceremonial laws of Judaism any longer. I want you to live by the law of Christ. I want you to live according to His Word. You have a new commander-in-chief. And now you need to walk worthy of your salvation. People who are saved, they have a walk about them that can be very godly. It does not have to be in the flesh. Their walk can be that of the Lord. The Spirit of God and the very person of God can be seen in their life, on their countenance, in their speech. What they say, what they laugh at, what they don't laugh at. In other words, it's a close, intimate walk with Him. He was saying to the Gentiles, you no longer have to live by your heathen practices of an unprincipled life, going your own way, doing your own thing. You don't have to live that way any longer. The context and the thought here is regardless of your background, that's what He was saying. Whether you're from Rome or Ephesus or Colossae, doesn't matter where you're from, whatever your background, you have been raised to walk in newness of life. Therefore, regulate your life under the law of Christ, under His law. Let Him control you. And it doesn't matter what background you came out of, how heathenistic it might have been or how religious it was. And so our vocation, your vocation, doesn't matter what kind of walk you came out of. Many of you were raised in a Christian home and you've never experienced the wickedness of this world and the sinfulness of this world. You were kept. You know something? You better thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord you did not go in that direction. But there are many of you here that did taste of the world, that were saved out of a deep pit of sin. Our vocation is simply a reflection of our salvation being lived out in our life. Do you have a worthy vocation? Is your salvation that of a godly manner that others can see Christ in you? That's what he's talking about here, that you walk worthy of your vocation. You have been saved. There's a different walk. It's newness of life. He said it this way to the church at Philippi, chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He commended them for obeying. He commended them, now watch this, for walking properly. They were walking. They were regulating their life by obeying the principles of Scripture, the law of Christ. Work out your own salvation. Keep working it out. Walk worthy of your vocation. Keep walking worthy of your vocation. Continue to do so. Sometimes that verse is used by the Armenians to say, see there, if you don't work out your own salvation, you can't be saved. You've got to work for your salvation. That has absolutely nothing to do with that passage. It's a misrepresentation of the passage. As a matter of fact, I pose this question to them. Something has to be worked in before it can be worked out. And when the Spirit of God comes in, then it can be worked out. You can start living out your life, your vocation, your salvation, worthy in a godly way. And this is interesting. Notice the last phrase, if you would, whereof ye have been called. This is a predicate nominative. It means to give a name to or a title to. It has the idea. You've been called a Christian. Walk worthy of that calling. You're called a Christian. People know you as a Christian. Walk worthy. Don't get angry and get in the flesh. Don't live by the old principles of the life, the mire you were called out of. You got victory over those sins. Then you live godly. You got control of your anger. Don't get mad if someone cuts you off. Control yourself. Walk worthy of your vocation. You're a professing Christian. Christ is inside you. You've been raised to walk in newness of life. Walk worthy of the vocation. Where have you been called? This is your new title. This is your new name. You're called a Christian. Walk worthy of that. It can be a title. We have a pastoral staff. I encourage them to live godly and holy. We talk about it. Why? It's important. They have a title. They have a calling. Our deacons, when we have meetings, I urge them to walk with God. Be men of prayer in the Bible. Study. Grow. Why? We have a title. An officer of the church. A Christian. A Sunday school teacher. A calling. Be worthy of that calling. Be faithful to your class. Be faithful to the lesson. That's a calling. And we have opportunity to show that. Walking in the Spirit is simply living out the obedient Christian life that others may see our life and see that we have been raised to walk in newness of life, that faith does matter, has made a difference in our life. So there's three thoughts. Salvation is given to us, and we can walk in newness of life. So our salvation came in play here. Then our faith came into play. And our faith is that which pleases the Lord. And we're to walk by faith. And then our calling comes into play. Because of who we are. Because of our position. Because of who we are in Christ. Because of who we are in this church. It matters. It matters how you live. As a member of this church, it does matter. And that's why I do not want our church members to have a bad reputation and a bad testimony that you somehow compromise some great truth of the Bible. How horrible that would be. We're to walk in newness of life. If we're going to walk with Him, If we're going to say that we have this new vocation, we have this salvation, this newness of life, then we're going to walk as if we've got new life in Christ. And that means we can have victory. And that means that we can live above wrong choices. We can make the right choices. If we make the wrong choices, thank the Lord for the blood of Christ. We can make that right with Him and with others. But how great it is when we're able to make the right judgment call before we fall into sin. And that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to walk that way. Walking. Walking with God in our spirit is a command. It begins at salvation. It carries on through our faith, every decision we make by faith, right down to how we live our life, whether or not we're walking worthy of our vocation and our calling, or are we being hypocrites? Are we excusing ourselves? May the Lord help us. See, being a Christian is a serious thing. It's just not Sunday morning for an hour. Are you understand what I'm saying? It's every day. It's when you meet a stranger. It's how you respond to trials, to troubles, to when you're not treated right. It's saying, hey, I'm not going to walk in the flesh. I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to really learn that I don't have to cuss. You can really get beyond that. And a great day in a person's life when they can give up their cursing. It's a hard habit to break. Did you know that? Very hard. But it's possible. And God can do it. Realizing that we've been raised to walk in newness of life, He gives us a new tongue. And that's the little things that show up in our life that show whether or not we're really walking with Him. May we show it. May we walk worthy of our vocation. May it complement our calling. May our faith be absolutely steadfast in Him during the hardest time of our life, because we've been raised to walk in newness of life.